With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T, or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back to the program. Lori Rubenson here with you, and busy, busy weekend in sports, which is makes me so happy to say that. There's actual games being played, including hockey's back, playoff hockey. Rangers lost to the Hurricanes 3-2 in their opener, and the Islanders, they win 2-1. It was a tale of two very different games. So talk about it, break it down, get some analysis. We bring in B-Comp, Brian Compton from NHL.com, Deputy Managing Editor. Hey, Brian, how are you?
Merry Sesmas, Lori. How are you?
Exactly, the Sesmas. Yeah, the Mets, the gift that keeps on giving.
My ulcer.
I know. I'm talking about Cespedes for an hour now, so we're gonna switch on, and we are gonna talk about playoff hockey. But if you would like to weigh in for a second and say, my opinion is neither side handled it well, and it's the sort of thing, you know. You look at every other team, they seem to be able to handle this sort of thing. And with the Mets, it's a mess.
Yeah, I think the initial statement said it all. Like, yep. Can you find the guy first before you tell everybody that you can't find? It's a whole thing, a disaster. Everybody got it wrong. And what else can you expect from that organization?
Exactly. Except a new owner. And maybe.
Right.
Maybe.
From your lips to God's ears, Lori.
Well, and speaking of teams that got new owners and then new general managers and new head coaches and things change. How about we've got the Islanders? I can start with the Rangers or the Islanders. You know what? We'll start with the winning story for a second and the Islanders. So they win 2-1 over the Florida Panthers. And first question for you is just, was this a classic? And especially when I looked at both Islanders and Rangers, Islanders just seemed so ready, poised, played their sort of disciplined hockey game, and it seemed like such a reflection of their veteran coach, Barry Trotz. Was this a classic Barry Trotz game?
It absolutely was, to a T. The goaltending was good. They limited Florida's chances. You know, the Panthers have a ton of offensive weapons, Lori, but you know, when you bring Adam Pellick back into the fold and Casey Zizekas, mm-hmm. two of their key cogs, who were both injured before the season pause on March 12th. Pellick in particular, Lori, he's just, you don't know what you got till it's gone. He just changes the whole complexion of that defense and really the whole team and how they play. The structure was there from start to finish. It was a great performance throughout.
Now, one thing that was obviously not so great, and we'll talk about a lot of the positives, but as long as you're talking about defense, was they were without Johnny Boychuk for almost two periods of this game, and it forced a lot the kind of the other guys to really step up and play big minutes. First of all, what are you hearing from an injury standpoint with Boychuk?
Yeah, there's no update. We spoke with Trotz earlier today, and he just didn't have an update for us. They didn't skate today, so it was a day off for the players. So maybe we'll learn more tomorrow. The one thing about the Islanders, Lori, is as far as 1 through 10 goes with their defense, they might be the deepest team in this tournament.
Andy Green didn't even play.
Right. Yeah. Andy Green didn't play. Noah Dobson didn't play. Thomas Hickey didn't play. They have a lot of guys who would probably be playing elsewhere in this tournament, but because of the depth that they have, they didn't play in game one. So if Boychuk can't go, There's no shortage of options for Barry Trotz in game two. We'll see how it goes.
Speaking of depth, how about the job? You know, the Rangers, of course, make the trade for Pageau. And how about the job of that third line coming through with that goal?
Yeah, you know, everybody saw, or a lot of people thought that Lou gave up a ton to get Pageau, but this was the guy that they needed the most, Laurie. That was a gaping hole, that third line center position before they acquired JG. He's a postseason player. That was his 13th playoff goal in 36 games. He won 8 of 10 faceoffs. He was great on the penalty kill. He alleviates so much pressure off a guy like Casey Zizekas. And I say this all the time, the teams that go far in the playoffs are the ones that are deep down the middle. And as far as the Islanders go, there's not many teams deeper at the center position than they are right now.
Talking to Brian Compton, a little playoff hockey. We actually forget just having games. We've got playoffs and Islanders winning 2-1 game one. One question we had, maybe it wasn't a surprise to you, but not that it was a surprise, but it was at least a question that Barry Trotz had to decide, evaluate when he heading into the postseason, heading into the playoffs. He went with Varlamov in game one over Thomas Greiss. Are you thinking that's something he's going to stick with? Are we going to see Greiss? What do you think? How is this going to be handled?
Well, I think you're definitely going to see Varley again in game two. The question is, does he start game three as well? Because it's a back-to-back on Tuesday and Wednesday. Barry said it's a possibility, but he has to wait and see what happens in game two. I wasn't surprised that Varlamov got the start in game one. We spoke with Barry about it earlier today, and he was saying how the crux of it was Varley was more busy in the scrimmages during phase three of the return to play plan back here on the island. And he just liked the way that he played in those scrimmages. So he was leaning towards starting Varlamov in game one. And then once we saw the performance that Varlamov put forth in the exhibition game against the Rangers when he made 19 saves through two periods, that really sealed the deal. But, if he falters in game two or if he's really busy in a game two victory, don't be surprised if Thomas Greiss gets to play in game three. We'll see.
What, if any, changes or adjustments are you looking for in game two? I would imagine not a lot from the Islanders, but are you expecting, are you expecting to see anything from the Panthers?
Well, they've got to put more pucks on the net, for starters, and it's going to be tough. I mean, even if Boychuk can't go, whether it's Noah Dobson or Andy Green, the Islanders probably aren't going to miss a beat defensively. And the Panthers have to do a better job of getting on the forecheck and drawing penalties. I mean, this is a top 10 power play that Florida has, Laurie, but they only got the man advantage once the whole game. So that has to change. They've got to get more pucks on Varley, and they've got to get more Islanders in the penalty box.
Yeah, it just was such a crisp game. It was, the pacing and disciplined, and the Islanders, I think they gave up one penalty, one power play, just the discipline of it all. It was just right out of the Trotz playbook. If there's anything that you want to say, all right, I want to see this for game two, for the Islanders, players you want to see play better, anybody you want to see step up, anything that you would change for game two?
Yeah, I think they need more from their top lines, the Barzal, Lee, yep. Everly line. They had one pretty good shift in the second period. Anders had a point-blank chance, and he just shot it wide. Look, they love to play these one-goal games. I mean, that's their MO. But if they could get three or four past Bobrovsky, their chances of winning increase exponentially. So their top line needs a little bit better, but the second and third lines were fantastic. The Zizekas line did their thing. Like I said, they were fantastic defensively, and they were so disciplined. So if they can just get a little bit more from that top line, I think they're going to be in really good shape.
By the way, what before we move to the Rangers, what did you think of that hit, the penalty, the hit from Mike Matheson on Boychuk, the hit to the head? Did you think that was a 2 minute? Should it have been a major? What was your opinion?
Yeah, just watching on the TV, Laurie, I really think they got it right. I know the initial call was a major, but they get to review it. And I think after looking at it for a couple of minutes, and by the way, that's a call that the officials make. That's not coming from Toronto. The officials get to review that play and decide what they want to do there. And just watching in slow motion, it doesn't look like he made contact with Boychuk's head. Of course, we don't know what the injury is. I assume it's some kind of upper body injury, but You know, the best thing that you can do instead of retaliating is to score on the power play. And that's mm-hmm. what they did when Anthony Beauvillier made it a 2-0 game. Yep. So the Islanders got the best revenge there.
Yeah, beautiful one-timer there.
Yep.
Terrific shot, great puck movement, all of that from the Islanders. All right. Very different story from the Rangers. If the Islanders played disciplined, if they played, you know, fast and crisp and all of that, that was not the case for the Rangers. And here's a stat for you. 82% of the time in a five-game series, the team that wins the first game wins the series. So if you are the Rangers, let's start off with how bad is this situation?
Well, I mean, it's not great, but it's not over either. I mean, if they can even the series in just a few hours from now, it's a whole new ball game. You know, David Quinn said he was not happy with the pace. He didn't think they skated yep. hard enough. I thought Hank was okay. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't know if Shesterkin was going to be available. And lo and behold, Hank gets the start in game one, and he makes 34 saves, a few brilliant saves, by the way. I mean, it could have been a lot worse than what went on there. But they need, obviously, more from their best player, Artemi Panarin. We'll see what happens with Kako on that second line with Panarin and Strome, because Jesper Fast isn't going to play in game two. But they're in this. It's just a question of who's going to start in goal. And Dougie Hamilton's not going to play for Carolina. He's one of the best defensemen in the league. So that should benefit the Rangers here a little bit.
So, you know, I said for the Islanders, I really thought that it was a reflection of their coach. For the Rangers, I think David Quinn's a very good coach, but you know, he's new to this. He's new to playoff hockey in the NHL, and the Rangers, I think the number was 7 of these Ranger players were on the team the last time they were in the playoffs. It's such a young team. Was that what we were watching? Is just a young team coming out here, you know, playoff hockey, and just, you know, the moment too big?
Well, you know, it's really hard to say because all this is so unprecedented. You know, playing in without fans and mm-hmm. in a neutral site building, there's just so many things that go into this. They just didn't play well enough. And I don't think it's a case of playoff jitters or anything like that. You know, they have a leader like Hank who's been through everything between the pipes there, hopefully to settle them down before the puck drops. But, you know, I think to answer your question, we'll probably figure it out in a few hours from now, how they respond after losing a tough game in game one. If they come out, you know, like gangbusters and they win the game 4-1 or 5-2, whatever it's going to be, then we'll know that they're not suffering from any jitters here. We'll see.
Now, word was that Shesterkin practiced on Sunday, but
yep.
they still don't know, you know, who's going to start on you know, as you said, in a few hours, I guess it's already Monday. How you know, Hank did play well, but how big a blow is that to not have Igor?
It's tough to, I mean, when you have a guy like Henrik Lundqvist, is it a huge blow? I mean, like I said, I thought he played really well. The different dynamic that Shesterkin brings, Laurie, is he's a whiz with the puck. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a tremendous puck handler, and it just changes the whole dynamic of how the Rangers can play. But it's the same thing. I mean, this would be his first NHL postseason game, so would he have jitters? I mean, you just don't know. I think we would know what we would get from Henrik Lundqvist. So Shesterkin, to me, is the better goaltender. But is he 100%? That's the other thing, right? So mm-hmm. is 80% of Shesterkin better than 100% of Hank? I'm not prepared to say that it is. But if he's healthy and ready to go, they have to take that, you know, his ability to play the puck into the equation here, Laurie, because it just changes everything defensively for them.
We're talking to Brian Compton about the NHL playoffs and the, you know, after the game, yes, there was Coach David Quinn saying that the Rangers were too slow. He also said, though, we need to get inside more. And ideally, you'd love to do that. But, how hard is that to do against a team like Carolina that is so good about keeping players boxing out, keeping players away from their net?
Well, I mean, that's their bread and butter. I mean, that's how Carolina beat the Islanders last year. They beat the Islanders at their own game. I mean, they're a really, really well-coached team. And Jacob Slavin, even without Dougie Hamilton, Slavin's one of the best defensemen in the league that nobody really talks about. I mean, he's so steady. He scored a goal the other day. I mean, the kid is just a terrific hockey player. So, like I said, it starts with Panarin. I mean, he's got to be the Panarin that we saw all season long that has him in, you know, the Hart Trophy conversation. He's just a terrific player. But they've got to get more pucks on the net, and we have to see a kid like Kaapo Kakko. I mean, the pressure is going to be on this kid to produce a little bit offensively playing with a guy like Panarin. And Ryan Strom, I think, is a really, really gritty player and was built for this kind of thing. So, you know, they just have to be better offensively. They're going to miss Jesper Fast. I mean, ironically, he goes down from a hit by Brady Shea, his former teammate. Mm-hmm. So it's a big loss. Jesper's all over the place. He does a lot of little things that a lot of people don't notice. So there's some things the Rangers have to overcome here, but I think they have the players to do it. We'll see.
If you're a Ranger fan and you want to be encouraged, can you also look at this game and say their coach said they were too slow? Mika Zibanejad said that he felt the team, he felt that they were, out-competed. They didn't really click. They were a disaster on power plays. You can look at all these things, and yet they lost Fast. For everything, you know, the game, so many things went wrong, and yet they lost 3-2.
Yeah, they were right there, and Zibanejad was a horse. What, he played 25 minutes? Mm-hmm. I mean, the guy was on the ice constantly. And I have to think that there's not going to be 14 power plays again, right? So there's probably going to be a lot more 5-on-5, which I think bodes well for the Rangers as well. And, you know, Zibanejad was a guy that we haven't even talked about. I mean, he looked like he hasn't missed a beat. Like I said, they have the horses to get this done, Laurie. It's going to be a completely different game. The wild card is who's going to be in goal and how much is that going to change if it is Shesterkin. We'll see.
I thought before the series started, Rangers in five, because I thought Shesterkin would be the difference maker. So now, not sure. Anyway, Brian Compton, you know, I hope that we'll have an elongated hockey playoff run here for the locals, and hopefully we'll be catching up a few times.
Great to be back, Lori. Thanks so much for having me. Good to talk to you.
All right.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.